Structural Research Laboratory at the Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center. So, Norbert, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, dear PAC members, ladies and gentlemen, let me present to you today the project on the development of the Structural Research Laboratory at Solaris Synchrotron. This is the project that has been discussed and this has been discussed at this PAC meeting at several times and at other meetings of the other administration bodies of the JINR. And now we came to the point where we want to suggest to implement this project as a into the framework of the topical plans of JINR. I will start with a little bit of introduction into the sort of a justification, scientific justification for the theme. Even though I can save a lot of time thanks to the presentation of Valery Shvetsov, who showed very nicely the place of the condensed matter research within the Joint Institute, and also the place, the role of the neutrons in this. So, very briefly, condensed matter research is one of the pillars, is one of the main scientific directions in the institute. What can be documented also by the fact that we are sitting at the PAC for condensed matter. And most of the experimental research that is done, most of the experiments that are done in this field at JINR at the moment are performed using neutron scattering, neutron diffraction, because neutrons do have quite few advantages in this research. Nevertheless, I would think that probably most of the audience here would agree that except of neutrons, there are other methods that are used in the condensed matter research, and the one that is closest to the neutron scattering is X-ray, using the scattering of X-rays. Now, there are some advantages of this approach too. One of the main ones is that thanks to the high flux of the X-ray sources, the X-ray beams are much more focused and allowed to use much smaller volumes of the samples and allow us to achieve much higher resolution. Just to show two examples to document this statement, I'm showing the results that have been again have been shown this PAC probably several times, in which part of the research is done using the neutrons, especially the part that is linked to the to studying the magnetic structure of new materials. But in addition to that, a lot of materials that we research, it is important to research them at extreme conditions, for example, at high pressures, as the example here shows. And unfortunately, because of the size of the sample, again, that is required for the neutrons, which are the kind of bulky samples, the use of the diamond anvil cells that are used to achieve high pressures going up to tens of gigapascals doesn't allow to get enough statistics or very, very good statistics, as you can see here. And so in addition to the measurements that have been done with neutrons, there have been done measurements at the same samples using the same diamond anvil cells, but using the X-ray diffraction. And you can see that thanks to that much higher focus of the beam, the data can be achieved at a very well, at a very good statistics, all the way up to 30 something gigapascals, so very high pressures. And so there is certainly an advantage of having access having accessibility to the X-rays and X-ray sources. Another example, so that was an example from hard condensed matter. Another example I want to show is from soft condensed matter, which is also one of the directions of the research in our institute. In this example, again, the advantage of X-rays is taken in a fact that we can go, or the researchers can go down to the nanoscale clusters, nanoscale structures, and they can study in the model biological membrane, they can study the phenomena on the level of almost single molecules, and so they can very nicely study the dynamics and the structure of a nano short-lived and in time and in nanoscaled structures in a space that allow them to understand the dynamics, understand the properties of these objects. Now, both of the examples I'm showing here have been done by researchers from our institute. Both of them were using the X-ray scattering at some of the synchrotron sources that are available around the world at different places. We have a couple more examples from our laboratory. People go to ESRF in Grenoble, DESI in Hamburg, Spring 8 in Japan, and even to the States. When they do go there for experiments, they go there as regular users, which means they go through the process of submitting their proposal. And as a rule, there isn't. It's not always easy to get a beam time, and it's not always easy to get enough beam time to get everything that is needed for the technique, everything that is needed for that experiment done. And so, certainly, there was a spark of interest amongst the researchers of GINR when the new synchrotron appeared on the landscape of synchrotron sources. This happened in Krakow. The project was executed by Jagiellonian University. I just very briefly remind you that it was finished in the year 2015, and since then it was very effectively executed project. It was done very very fast and at a reasonable level of money. And at the end, there is a working synchrotron working at the power of 1.5 gigaelectronvolts. And with at the current of 500 milliamperes. At the end, in addition to the synchrotron source itself, there have been two machines installed. There have been two experimental machines installed within this budget. They are ultra angular result photoelectron spectroscopy and photoemission electron microscopy. In addition to that, later on, there has been development, and two more lines are going to be built or are under construction at the moment that are also focusing on the spectroscopy and the circular dichroism. So at the moment, at these days, there is a new synchrotron source in Krakow. It's a working synchrotron source that has quite a few empty spots for the beam lines, and this, of course, in addition to the instruments that are operational already or that are under the construction at the moment, the people at the source have an idea what would be the other instruments to implement there, what would be the other techniques that would work best with this source. And they sort of have a table of proposals or the wish list of what additional instruments they want to build. And among these, there is one in particular that struck the attention of the researchers from JINR, because as I was saying at the beginning, because these techniques use are complementary to the techniques that we use here, and these are in particular scattering and the diffraction of the techniques of the X-rays. In particular, it is the original proposal is to build a beamline that would be able to do the macromolecular crystallography, diffraction from the single crystals, small-angle X-ray scattering, and powder diffraction. In addition to that, there is always possibility to do the absorption spectroscopy. And this proposal was very interesting in for researchers from JINR. It is a complementary technique for doing the research that we already do, that we have already the results in at our home institute. And because of that, there has been quite some discussions between the center, synchrotron center in Krakow, and director of JINR, which resulted into the signage of the agreement just about a year ago. There was an agreement signed on a cooperation in the field of a construction of the beamline that would belong to our institute, to JINR. Now we are coming to the time that we want to. So, in the agreement, there is clearly stated what kind of development there will be done, and there is clearly mentioned the financial commitment for this project. And this is where we are coming in with our proposal to create a new theme and implement this agreement, implement this project within the framework of a topical plan of JINR. According to the agreement, we are taking as financial conditions of this theme, we are setting them such that we can fulfill the commitment from the agreement, and we propose it to spend 5 years, which are the 5 years of the remaining part of the contract. The theme, the title of the theme is the development of the SOLCRI Structural Research Laboratory at the Solaris National Synchrotron Center, and it will be under my leadership. Now, as I said, there is already some history to this project, and so we have already quite some idea on how to execute, what needs to be done in the development of this beamline, of this new facility. And so we are proposing the following scheme, in which the main activities can be basically grouped into three stages. In the first stage, it will be the preparation and modification of the existing infrastructure. Of course, the huge part of that is the developing, it's creating the insertion device, which will be the source of X-rays, and of course the beamline construction works. All of these, or part of these activities, can go, of course, in parallel, and altogether will take, it is estimated to take about 3 years. Again, close to the end of that stage, there can start the in parallel can start another stage of works, and that's the design and construction of the beamline of the facility itself, and of course the last stage, that's the commissioning of the instrument and including it into the user program, giving the accessibility to the users. So a little bit in more details, what needs to be done in that first stage is creating the space for the new laboratory, for the new beamline, and it is proposed to be implemented this way, and so there will be a new insertion device, the superconducting Wigler, that will be purchased. It will be the source of the X-rays, and out of this source there will be extracted two beams that will be used for one of them for the two end stations, which I will discuss a little bit later. There has been already some preliminary discussions with the people from Butker Institute in Novosibirsk about the superconducting Wigler. All the discussions, all the parameters that have been calculated later on are based on the requirements that we have for this source, and the requirements parameters are we require the energies between 5 to 20 keV. It was shown that the best fitting device for such a case will be the superconducting Wigler working at the 4.5 Tesla with other parameters, and according to that it will give the maximum flux exactly in the range that we intend to use for our instruments, and the flux is estimated at the level of 2 to 3 10 to the 14th photons. Now, after that, so main results of the theme, main results of the whole development, of course, will be the infrastructure, and well, I have already mentioned the radiation source and the two beam lines. Again, I will mention them in more details. But what is really the most important result for us in this theme is creating an accessibility, creating the option for people from our laboratory, from the Institute of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, and all the member countries to have access to this technique, to have access to this source. And so now a little bit more details, technical details about the beamlines that are proposed to be built. I've already mentioned one of them. One of the end stations should be small angle X-ray scattering beamline. It is proposed to work in the wavelength range from 0.75 to 2 angstroms with the beam size up to 150 micrometers. It is proposed to be equipped with a very modern optics and very modern detector systems. And of course, what we want to be able to do with this beamline, the main purpose of it will be looking at the nanoparticles, nanocomposites, whether in solid state or in the solution. This includes various new materials, biological objects. This includes the research that is currently being done with neutrons, and this will be the complementary technique to achieve some additional information. Another part of the beamline that will be extracted from the source will be dedicated to the crystallography beamline. Will be operating at the wavelength range from 0.6 to 3 angstroms. Again, with a very good energy resolution, and the beam size in this case going down to about 50 micrometers. Again, the components of the end station itself are proposed to be very very modern, having well the best optics that is available at the moment, and the detectors as well. The research that will be done at the instrument, that's again something complementary to the neutron experiments done here, For example, the examples I have been showing at the beginning, so measuring the diffraction from samples at extreme conditions. And of course, together with it, there will be need for the sample preparation facility and so on. So it will be actually, the proposal is to build the whole laboratory, structural laboratory, as opposed to just the beam lines, just the end lines. The parameters and the interest in the research that I have mentioned during the talk is actually coming from our laboratory, from the researchers in our laboratory, and the collaborators outside. I'm just showing a few letters of support, few intentions to work on these, and I will highlight the systems that that people are foreseeing to be using, to be measuring at these instruments. So it's a pressure-induced physical phenomena. It's the lipid bilayers and model biological membranes and interactions with drugs, structures of liquid systems and different nanosystems and nanocomposite systems. So as a main result of the theme, it's outlined here. It's a new Solclis laboratory that will be accessible to all of the member states, to all of the researchers from the member states of JINR. So in summary, there is some history in the interest for cooperation on the construction of Solclis structural laboratory between JINR and Jagiellonian University. And at this point, we appeal to the PAC on condensed matter, to PAC members, to support our decision to open the new theme to build such a facility. Is this? Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Norbert, and the floor is yours, Alec, for the review.
Thank you. We have three referee reports concerning this proposal, so presented by a member of Program Advisory Committee, Dr. Mikula, Dr. Gardieli, Dr. Skuratov, two local referee reports. So, and I would suggest from the referee report of the member of Program Advisory Committee who is sitting here. So, Dr. Mikula, please, the floor is yours.
Practically everything important was said now in the presentation, so I will practically repeat some important points, so I am sorry for it. So in the reviewed theme, this review theme put forward for opening with the topical plan of the Joint Institute proposes to develop and construct a laboratory for structural research of condensed matter. It is known that the condensed matter research is one of the three pillars of the research activities of the Joint Institute, while combining its researchers from other fields, theoretical nuclear and applied physics, with material researchers. The laboratory will be built conveniently at the synchrotron in Krakow, and it will open new possibilities for the scientists. It is clear that it is not sufficient only to be a partner in the institution, but also to build a laboratory for further developing of topics solved particularly in laboratory of neutron physics, and for receiving further complementary scientific results according to its demands. It is really important to use additional complementary method to use neutron scattering, namely X-ray utilizing techniques. The use of neutron X-ray scattering methods have been naturally spread considerably within the worldwide. The five-year proposal of the project outlines clearly its main activities and goals. Particularly, it is X-ray beamline for diffraction studies, X-ray beamline for small angle scattering and wide angle X-ray scattering studies, and naturally facilities for sample preparation and sample environments. The instrument selected proved an experienced team of researchers. I evaluate positively the level of details in parameters defining these instruments as presented in the review documents. The undoubted merit of the proposal, in addition to the X-ray instrument DELFEM, is the development of facility for sample preparation and sample environment. It became clear in many research fields that a well-prepared sample may be the most important part of the experimental investigation. This is especially true in the case of the crystallographic samples and samples measured at extreme conditions. In summary, I note with satisfaction that the development of the X-ray structural laboratory is of high significance to the researchers of the Joint Institute and the researchers of the member states, and naturally I recommend the implementation of this project within the framework of the Joint Institute Topical Plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mikuva. So we have two more referee reports. They are a local one from GNR. First one is presented by Valentin Gardeli from Frank Laboratory. It's mentioned that there are two most widely utilized experimental techniques for structural studies of condensed matter physics are based on neutrons and X-ray scattering are discussed within this proposal. An advantage of the source which is proposed is an effective that this is effective facility exploration while allowing a flexibility to implement various instruments. Concerning the instrumentation which is proposed for this facility, referee mentioned that this instrumentation are focused clearly on the studies in the field of hard and soft condensed matter with an option to be studied in, at extreme conditions. The fields are aligned well with the existing scientific directions of GNR and recognized by the wider scientific community. It is therefore fair to assume a seamless accommodation of possibilities both by proposed instruments within the research performed by GNR scientists and even new competences to be born. Referee detailedly evaluate the technical parameters of new instruments and say that these parameters outlined in the proposal they are of high performance and at a good level. And overly, the referee supports the development of the Solcre Structural Research Laboratory based on X-ray scattering techniques as outlined in the review proposal. And he recommends opening a new theme within the topical plan of GNR for the suggested period of time. The next referee report is presented by Dr. Skuratov from Fleurov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions of GNR. Referee also detailedly evaluate the instruments of this laboratory. He mentioned some special about in situ diffraction measurements in wide temperature range, which is suggested in this theme. He mentioned that, in general, the technical parameters of the beam lines and suggested technical solutions ensure the material studies at the level which meets very high modern scientific level. So he evaluates the requested financial sources and find them very well justified. The timeline of the proposal is very well justified as well. And the referee especially mentioned the wide international cooperation and interest of many member states and associate members of GNR in this kind of activity. And also the referee, based on the above mentioned, the referee suggests supporting of opening of this theme. So that's all that we have from referees. So, and does anybody have any other questions concerning these proposals? Yeah, maybe. Dr. Kulda, please.
Thanks. Can you hear me? Yeah. I mean, this is a beautiful project, but I have a non-scientific question. If I look to your timeline, which by itself, again, I think is correct, or I wouldn't criticize it, I would expect that you will have a very, very strong spending peak somewhere around 2023 or somewhere there, while your funding plan is perfectly flat. Do you have a plan how to deal with this discrepancy?
Well, the financial conditions, as they are outlined in the theme, have been set to cover the agreement that is to build this to make this development, and there has been already found or have been look we have been looking for the mechanisms by which it will be possible to redistribute money over the years, especially later on. So in this, we have a great support from in Jagiellonian University itself, who will be the final purchaser of the different works and different equipment. So we don't find this flatness of the budget over the years difficult to deal with.
Thank you. Oh, Hartmut.
My question is about your beam lines. On your picture, you showed a split for two stations. Could you explain why you use a split on one beam line? There are many others around. And why didn't you use two different beam lines? Second question. In the split position, what station will be where and what station will be the other? And how will you arrange that?
So having two beam lines coming out of the one source is a solution to save some money on the insertion device. So we actually can use one insertion device, which is probably one of the most expensive parts of the beam line, and we will use just one of them for two beam lines. Definite money is definitely one of the subjects there. Yeah, sure. And also making such insertion device, it takes about 2-3 years, and so it's also the time. We won't be able to compete to finish it in a time if we do two of them. And actually, the space again, since we don't want to build a whole big extension to the existing infrastructure, we want to have these two instruments close by in a space-wise conditions. And so which beam will be for which one, I believe from the geometry here, the longer beam line will be needed for the diffraction beam, for the one with the smaller beam size. So even though it's quite schematically sketched here, it will be the lower end of this.
So that means it's not yet...
So there are some plans. There are no definite technical details. There are no plans because the theme didn't even start yet. These works have not been started yet. It's just on the level of preliminary discussions and designs.
Thank you. We are a little bit behind the time schedule. Okay, but yeah, if you have an urgent question.
Well, the question was whether the insertion device will be able to operate in an optimum mode for both of the beam lines. I mean,
yes, according to the these calculations have been done already at the Budker Institute, and that has been shown that it is the case.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, nevertheless, I myself have a very, very quick question. As well, I'm absolutely supporting opening the new theme. However, as you have shown, merely the European or the worldwide landscape of synchrotrons, major synchrotrons like ESRF, Petra 3, and so on and so forth, I would have welcomed showing the Russian landscape or even more the Russian roadmap. I know that it is not your fault because it has still not been settled, but mentioning plans in Protvino, Novosibirsk, and so on and so forth, I think it should be included before this proposal comes finally to the Scientific Council. Thanks. Do you have any comment on that, or?
Well, all I can comment on that is that the reason why we are going on with the cooperation at Jagiellonian University in Krakow is that there was an intensive discussions already, and so we have been offered this opportunity. While at the other, in principle, one can foresee building very similar laboratory at any other synchrotron source in the world, but there isn't. In many of them, there isn't availability for doing that, and there isn't discussion with the institute. So that's definitely one of the reasons that the cooperation has been going on for about 3 years now or 4 years now.
Okay, then thanks again for the speaker. And let's proceed to the next presentation, the theme biomedical and radiation genetic studies using different types of ionizing radiation and the project further development of methods, technologies, schedule modes and delivery of radiotherapy and proposal for their extension. The presentation comes from Professor Mitzin. So the floor is yours. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Dear colleagues, I will present you our project and theme consists of two projects, our project and next project that will be presented by Dr. Afanasyeva. So the main goal of the project is realization of medical, biological and clinical investigations as a medico-technical complex based at the phasotron of the laboratory of nuclear problems to study the effectiveness of hadron radiotherapy for treatment of various neoplasm, modernization of the equipment and devices, and development of new techniques of radiotherapy and associated radiobiological accompaniment of cancer patients with medical hadron beams from the phasotron. Many institutions from Russian Federation, from Poland, from Czech Republic, from Romania, from South Africa take part in implementation of this theme, of this project. our research in the field of proton therapy was started as far as 1967. Big step was achieved in December of 1999 when a specialized radiological department for the 25 beds was inaugurated in Dubna Hospital. And that allowed us to start regular treatment sessions. To the date, about 1,300 patients underwent proton radiotherapy courses with our facility. This technique of 3D conformal proton radiotherapy was realized and is used in radiotherapy sessions. Main fields of our research is development of the technique of proton radiotherapy, clinical research, dosimetry of therapeutic hadron beams, and radiobiology. For the first time, and former Soviet Union countries and Eastern Europe, the technique of 3D conformal proton radiotherapy was realized and is used in radiotherapy sessions. In this technique, the maximum of the dose field most precisely corresponds to the volume, target volume, tumor volume. At the same time, the dose sharply decreases beyond the borders of the target of the tumor that allows irradiation of tumors located closely to the vital radiosensitive organs and tissues of patient. Well, I briefly remember the main stage of this technique. First, it's immobilization of treatment area of the patient, usually head and neck, with a special mask, individual mask. Then we carry out diagnostic and topometric imaging. Usually it's X-ray CT, magnetic resonance imaging with contrast, positron, in some cases positron emission tomography, and others. Then three-dimensional computer treatment planning, simulation of irradiation. Then we manufacture individual beam-shaping devices for each patient, for each direction of radiation, that are complex shape collimators, and compensating boluses. And then at finish realization and verification of treatment plan. A wide uniform and cross-section proton beam of two energies, 170 for head and neck treatment, and 225 MeV for example, prostate cancer treatment, with spread out break peaks, was delivered to one of our treatment rooms. A special system for online real-time control of the beam parameters was designed and constructed. We developed a special technological different procedures to manufacture individual collimators for each angle of radiation, individual boluses, compensators to form the beam in depth and penetration. Very important step of radiation of patients is so-called verification procedure during treatment sessions. We must be sure that the patient in the same position as it was carried out diagnostic procedures, treatment planning, and before each treatment radiation, we make X-ray verification film and then compare predicted ideal position of the beam of the beam relative to bony structures and current position of the beam relative to the rigid bony structures. During the last 3 years, we developed and created special treatment planning software that allows us to make this procedure automatically, almost automatically, which ensure high accuracy of patient positioning and short the time that we need for this procedure. Together with our colleagues from Poznan, from Poland, we developed and realized the technique of checking the all stages of our technique, 3D conformal proton radiotherapy, with the use of special heterogeneous Alderson phantom, which simulates a human head, and with the help of radiochromic films that can be measured the dose to each point of this film. This technique, we can verify all the stages of our procedure, how we prepare the patient, how we manufacture boluses, collimators, and how we irradiate the patients with high accuracy. of course, this technique that we developed and realized is enough good, but it has some disadvantages. We can increase the conformity of irradiation with such scheme of irradiation. This scheme, so-called, we irradiate the patients with imaginary individual layers of different penetration, of different energies, stack by stack. This will give us more higher value of conformity of irradiation. But to realize this technique, we need to construct a automated multi-leaf collimator and automated dynamic range shifter. And now this device is under construction. We have already designed and constructed a prototype of such collimator. This is a full-scale collimator for 33 pairs of plates. Now we have constructed a prototype of such collimator for four pairs plates, individual plates. Now we hope to finish its test all the mechanical and electronical parts of this prototype, and we are going to start the design and construction of full-scale version next year. For treatment planning, it is very important step of preparation. we developed own 3D treatment planning software, which allow us to calculate boluses, collimators, 3D dose distribution. Here you can see verification of this program, calculation algorithm of this program with the help of Alderson Phantom and radiochromic films. Here at the right you can see dose distribution, calculated dose distribution, red line, and measured dose distribution, black line. It is enough good coincidence, and now this treatment planning software under clinical test in our facility. Clinical trials. Since inauguration of specialized radiological departments, annually we irradiate about 60-70 new patients, not only Russian citizens, but including patients from the GIN member states with various neoplasms. To the date, the total number of patients is about 1,300. As a rule, radiation is fractionated, averagely 10, 20, up to 35 fractions for a patient, and each fraction included several directions of radiation. So the total number of so-called fields, single radiation, was about 5,000-6,000 per year. Our accelerator worked up to 900 hours for medical purposes, for medical research every year. Earlier, we made statistical analysis for one of diseases treated with our beams, so-called arteriovenous malformations of the brain. Over the past 3 years, we processed the results of proton therapy of so-called chordomas and chondrosarcomas of the skull base for 28 patients. The average tumor volume was 42 centimeter, cubic centimeter. Average total dose was equal to 73 gray. Dose to critical structures did not exceed tolerant values. And no, here you can see an example of such radiation. This is at the left. You can see magnetic resonance imaging with contrast. Here you can see a relatively big tumor, which is close to brain stem, to optic nerves. So for this patient, the proton therapy may be the only one way to cure tumor, because conventional surgery is not possible in this case because the tumor is located enough deep in the brain. Chemotherapy doesn't work in this case. Conventional therapy cannot increase the dose to the tumor for values that it needs, cannot increase because very close critical structures, but proton therapy still works in this case because the dose rapidly drops to the low small values at the borders of the tumor. Here you can see SAD dose distribution, and this is the same patient after irradiation. You can see very good progress. So according to the statistical analysis, the following conclusion can be drawn. Our proton radiosurgery and radiotherapy is a highly effective and safe method of treatment of arterial venous malformation of the brain, including those of large size, impossible in case of, for example, so-called gamma knife or kyber knife, as well as chordomas and chondrosarcomas of the skull base, which due to their close location to the critical structures of the brain are the most complex of all intracranial targets. The results obtained are very close to the data of other sensors of proton radiotherapy. Dosimetry of medical hadron beams. In this field, we have very good cooperation with institutions from Czech Republic, from Romania, and from other countries. For example, in collaboration with Department of Radiation Dosimetry of Nuclear Physics Institute, on the basis of the our gamma unit ROCUS M with cobalt 60 source, special stand for calibration of clinical dosimeters was equipped that allowed us to maintain the accuracy of our therapeutic proton beam dosimeter at the level of 3%, which corresponds to the international standards. Also, together we measure background conditions in the now proton therapy treatment room using thermal luminescent and track detectors. It was shown that the background radiation in the treatment room, in our treatment room, are even lower than that of standard high-energy electron accelerators, conventional electron accelerators for radiotherapy. Also, together with our colleagues from Bucharest University, Nuclear Physics Institute from Prague, work was done to define errors that occur in proton therapy planning with that standard techniques, with that standard treatment planning softwares, in case when the patient has metallic implants in the region of irradiation. The researchers connected by simulation methods and experimental methods with application of special phantoms. It was It was shown that in this case, really mistakes in treatment planning software. These measurements was repeated at the proton therapy center of Chicago, using the technique of the proton computer tomography and the Monte Carlo treatment planning software developed at the center. It was shown that in this case, the results of treatment planning some better. A PhD dissertation was defended on the results of this work. Studies in the field of radiation biology. There are three branches of researchers. One of them is a study to identify the possibility of exposure to laser radiation of different spectra together with ionizing radiation on the modification of the effects of the latter have been conducted. It was shown that both primary and subsequent and simultaneous with laser radiation, radiation of fibroblast of mice leads to an increase in the survival of cells expected to gamma, exposed to gamma radiation or protons. And we will continue these measurements, these experiments. During the past years, we started also our work in collaboration with South Africa ITEMB Labs on the topic neurochemical studies of neurotransmitters in brain tissues after exposure to neutrons, protons, and gamma quanta. This year we started shared work with Romanian institutions to increase the efficiency of radiotherapy using so-called nanoparticles of heavy, high Z materials. The lesion of tumor cells is formed by both primary and secondary short-range radiation with a high value of radiobiological efficiency. So, what we plan to do during next 3 years? First, to continue our clinical studies on proton radiotherapy. Here we have some problems because going to modern laws and rules of Ministry of Health of Russian Federation, all the equipment that that you use almost in the frame of research work, all the equipment should be registered as a medical equipment, and we started this procedure this year and hope to get all the permissions next year. Also, we continue to evaluate the effectiveness of the conducted radiotherapy of different neoplasms. To start design and construction of the full-scale multi-leaf collimator, to develop and construct a computerized system of dose control during radiotherapy, to continue work to increase functional capability of the developed 3D treatment planning software, to continue dosimetric experiments in the field of LED spectrum evaluation, to measure background radiation in treatment room. Also to continue our radiobiological studies in these three fields. This is a budget that we asked for next 3 years. No, of course, main expensive. It is operation of our Phasotron. It needs about maybe $1 million per year for Phasotron operation. But for realization of our project, the sum is not so big, only 25,000 per year. So thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. And now the reviews come tomorrow.
Thank you. So we have three referees who contributed to reviewing this project. First of all, I would like to give the floor to the member of our program advisory committee, Dr. Martina Dubnichkova. So she wrote the first referee report, and please share with us your opinion.
Thank you for the words. At first, I don't want to repeat the information we all had already heard. So I will continue with the evaluation. Proposed project is a continuation of previous research, which was completed successfully and opened a few new problems in examined field of research. The answer on the question of about the scientific merits and intellectual contributions, the scientific and technical impact of this research in the field of solution is on very good level in this project. The measures maximizing the impact of the project will require future independent researchers based on using GNR's facility. The potential for the innovations versus risk levels are correlated on the team experiences on the pilot studies and of the continuation research from the previous works with successful results in this research field. Given the general team characterizations, there is a potential of practicable continuation to get such results at the worldwide level of the research using the GNR facilities. Something about technical feasibility of the project within the proposed time scale. These experiments are together an original and recommended of the development of the technical solution, radiobiological and physical methods, clinical studies of their applications in clinical radiology and for future research in GINR. The methodology for the project is fully convincing. The data collection strategy, potential sources of information and other accessibility are clearly explained according to timescale. Planned activities, balance between time frame and cost, description of the work plan, benefits for GNR arising from this activity, the structure and planned procedures are listed, and the proposal expressed the clear experimental strategy. Compliance of the requested financial resources with the project objectives, I can say that the form and content of study have the required character. The request funding is realistic for the estimated budget. The management plan is adequate and practicable in correlation with the budget. Something about availability of adequate human resources at GNR and the collaborating institutions. Experiments of all participants related to the planned years will be very positive appraised and important in the conclusion of research because the GNR organization is the best focus place for conducting and coordinating these studies among all these participants or these institutions. The proposal with very precise manner sufficiently demonstrated that the group has the necessary expertise and capabilities to obtain and synthesize the information needed for the project. Planned timetable of works and resources leveling of the information are demonstrating the proposal on an adequate level of experience of special preparation in this field and group together the international scientific specialists. Then I divide the characterization to two groups, strengths and the weaknesses of this project, but I can conclude that the project is scoring scale at excellent level and proposal successfully addresses all relevant aspects of the expected criterion. Any shortcomings were found, and I propose to accept this functional project for functional acceptance. Thank you.
Thank you, Martina. So we have two more reports. First one is presented by Doctor of Science Alexander Ivanov from Laboratory of Radiation Immunology and Experimental Therapy of Burnazian Institute in Russia. So his referee report is very, very detailed. Let me mention just highlights. The referee starts from the point that the team of people who work in this direction is a very international one. It comprises, for instance, from people from Poland, Czech Republic, Romania, Japan, and many other countries. It is an original project. There's no world analogous in this meaning. The goal of the project is clearly formulated in the proposal, and in the brief summary, authors of the project describe the fundamental rationale and practical achievements in the field of hadronic therapy, which is well justified. The referee mentioned that employees of the Medical and Technical Center of GNR have achieved great success in the field of preserving and developing the technological base to improve comprehensive therapy, hadron and proton therapy for cancer patients. The staff of this medical and technical complex may see serious contribution to the medical physics as a science, let's say. On the basis of international cooperation with scientists from Japan and Czech Republic and Poland, the adequate dosimetric accompaniment of proton radiation therapy have been provided. It is mentioned that there are a wide range of R&Ds belonging to the topics of radiation therapy, which were actually mentioned in the presentation. I would not repeat all this. The specific team of medical and technical complex, together with dosimetric and foreign, domestic and foreign partners, carry out a fundamental, substantial, practically significant problem in the field of hadron therapy and oncology disease. And finally, the referee recommend to support further extension of the of this theme and project within the proposed term of years. So, and the last report, referee report, was presented by Dr. Sirisin from Gerepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems. Actually, he also evaluated the importance of development of radiation therapy in at GNR. He mentions, he underlines the connection with FMBA and the medical complex of Dubna. It's hospital, Dubna Hospital, Medzinska Sanitarnaya Chast number 9. A very important role is also played by R&Ds, again, research and development, which are connected with radiation therapy. So some points are very similar to the reports of other referees. I will skip it. And finally, he mentioned that as a result of implementation of the planned work using the developed technical solutions in field of physical methods, clinical experience, will make it possible to make recommendations on their application of clinical research and clinical trials to determine the direction of further research on GNR in field of radiation therapy and medical beam development. So it means that both referee reports are quite comprehensive one and quite positive. So there, the full text of this report are placed on the web, and I will not read it in because it's so detailed. So that's all what we have for as a referee reports for this project and theme.
Thank you, Oleg. Questions, comments to the speaker or to the reviews? Yeah, Professor Matvey.
You made very good presentation. Thank you. But could you at least shortly mention the status of work on getting licenses for this activity?
We started this work with preparing a lot of papers about our equipment. So all the software, all the details that we use in during radiotherapy must be defined in this manual of equipment. Then we have developed so-called technical technical program for our equipment. No, it's strange because these laws are intended for equipment that you want to produce for use, for wide use. But we have this equipment, and this is not so simple to register our equipment like medical one. But we hope that we will get this permission next year, maybe.
You, Hartmut, you.
My question is, how does the proton therapy compared with the therapy with heavy ions or neutrons? What is the advantage of protons? One question. And the other one, 25,000 is really enough per year?
No, first question. Ion therapy is maybe some more efficient in case of a rare field of tumors, not for every tumor. But it's about three times more expensive. Neutron therapy may be useful when you have to treat a large hypoxic tumor, like a liver tumor and some other. So that therapy has narrow, not so wide range of use. Proton therapy is more universal one.
Thank
and
you,
second question, one, why so small money? No, usually we get grants from Czech Republic, from Romania, from Poland, and it is enough. But as I have already told you about accelerator. Accelerator takes about $1 million per year.
Thank you once again. I don't see any further questions, so let me thank the speaker and also for the
thank
viewers. And before lunch, we have one more presentation, which will come from Dr. Afanasieva, Project Radiogene, Experimental Justification of Radiation Genetic Risk Estimation According to the Frequency of Heritable DNA Changes in Human and Animal Structure Genes, and Proposal for its Extension with a New Title, Radiogene, Molecular Genetics of Radiation-Induced Changes at the Gene, Genome, and Transcriptome Level in Drosophila melanogaster. So, the floor is yours.
Dear Chairman and committee members and dear colleagues, I'd like to make a report on the current project and tell you about our plans. Actually, the goal of the current project is clearly seen in the title, Experimental Justification of Radiation Genetic Risk Estimation According to the Frequency and Heritable DNA Changes in Human and Animal Structural Genes. To achieve these goals, it was necessary to resolve the following tasks. First, we had to study the spectrum and frequency of inherited DNA changes induced by gamma rays and neutrons in five genes under study using a PCR method. Second, it was necessary to study the quality and frequency of DNA microchanges using sequencing. Besides, we needed to assess the frequency of the inherited DNA base substitutions induction using the one gray per one nucleotide approach. And finally, to take into account the discovered induced frequency and the spontaneous rate of these changes to determine the doubling dose as the basis criteria of the genetic risk of ionizing radiation on the molecular level for animals and humans. The progress in human genetics shows that almost half of human diseases are associated with point mutations in the gene. Therefore, for the first stage of molecular analysis by PCR method, we choose point mutations of 5 genes from our large collections of mutants. As the first step, the inherited DNA changes of 5 genes were studied using PCR technique. According to the obtained results, based on 2,500 PCR reactions for all 5 genes, the overall picture of the revealed changes is pretty similar and includes two main categories of mutations. The first one is DNA microchanges that are not detected through this method. We call them PCR plus mutants. And the second one is changes as deletions of various sizes and location on the gene map. We call them PCR minus mutations. The analysis of relative frequency of these two mutational categories for 5 genes, all in all, shows that PCR plus mutants occur more often than PCR minus mutations after all the given doses of gamma rays. However, the picture of the relative frequency of neutron-induced mutations is quite differs from that for gamma radiation. In particular, the share of the PCR plus mutants increases, you can see here, whereas the share of PCR minus mutants decreases with the increasing dose. This reduction may be explained by the gene conversion, which is part of the repair process of neutron-induced large damages on the early zygote stage after fertilization. In the context of this project, the molecular nature of PCR plus mutants was studied by sequencing in detail. The analysis of the sequence results of for the spontaneous and induced PCR plus mutants of yellow and black genes showed that these mutations can be based on various DNA changes, such as single base substitutions, microdeletions, microinsertions, deletion plus insertion, large insertions, which are common for 2 genes. Substitutions of 2 or 3 bases and gene conversions as well were specific only for the black gene. It's interesting to compare the effects after gamma rays and neutrons for the black gene on the molecular level. As you can see, the gamma and neutrons induce the same, almost the same changes, but their frequency differs. In particular, gamma rays are more effective in the induction of substitutions, and while neutrons are much more effective in gene conversion induction. You can see this point. As the current molecular studies of human diseases show, base substitution prevail among the mutations of corresponding genes. In order to evaluate the effectiveness of gamma radiation in the induction of these type of changes, we determined the frequency of base substitution based on the one gray per one nucleotide approach for the dose of 40 grays. And the calculated value turned out to be 2.1 point multiplied by 10 to the minus 9th power. Knowing this value and the frequency of the spontaneous base substitution according to the sources, we found that the doubling dose as the upper permissible exposure limit turned out to be 1.7 degrees. And that is three times lower than they estimated that the geneticists made earlier as to the mutational rate, but not at the molecular level. This is the first assessment of the genetic risk of sparsely ionizing radiation at the molecular level. The data will be more precise after we obtain the research results for other genes. Here you can see the list of our publications and presentation in different conferences. And to continue the previous project RadioGene, we would like to claim the two following main lines of the new project, structural and functional. In the structural line, on the gene level, we are going to study structural gene mutations, which show deletion of different parts detected by PCR earlier. You can see here. These deletions can be based on various molecular changes that requires specific research methods. In case of single fragment deletions, for example, here, first of all, we will check the areas of primary annealing for molecular changes. If no changes are detected, and we will assume these assume the insertion of the mobile element, which can be confirmed using long PCR. For the mutants with large deletion, for example, here or here, this deletion affects several fragments. The exact size sequence of the deletion ends and the position of the deletion will be revealed by sequencing. For mutations associated with aberration break, the exact localization of the breakage is not clear, and we want to find out where the aberration breakage is localized within the gene by the in situ hybridization. If the aberration is localized outside the gene under study, and it isn't the case cause of the mutation, it will be analyzed using standard PCR protocol and sequencing. On the genome level, we are planning to carry out a complex of experiments. We are going to irradiate the males of Drosophila melanogaster by three doses of gamma rays, take several fleas from the first generation, isolate from them DNA, and sequence whole genome. This unique data will let us to know the nature and frequency of changes induced by sparsely ionizing radiation, not only in several genes, but in the whole genome. And a couple words about the functional line of our research. Our collection has a unique lines of Drosophila, which differs by their radioactivity, radiosensitivity. Here is the level of survival. And we are planning to study the transcriptome, I mean the set of the whole RNA in these Drosophila lines using the RNA microarray by F-matrix. The idea is to detect the gene set controlling radiosensitivity of the cell and of the organism as a whole. The implementation of the project will provide us with a lot of new basic data. First of all, about the nature of structural gene changes in point and chromosomal mutations induced by gamma rays and neutrons. The results of genome-wide sequencing of offspring received from the gamma-radiated males will be obtained for the first time ever. These data will allow to estimate the genetic consequences of parental germline irradiated for the progeny. At the same time, these results will allow to compare inherited genomic changes in the progeny of two animal species, Drosophila and mice. Only such comparative results might possibly be finally extrapolated on humans. For the first time ever, the transcriptome analysis will allow to identify the gene set responsible for radiosensitivity of Drosophila melanogaster. This may open the way to understand the genetic control of radiosensitivity in human. The main strength of our project is our team. We have long-term experience in the field of general, molecular, and radiogenetics. Besides, we have a unique collection of radiation-induced mutations of five different genes of Drosophila, which are the subject of study in both the first and the uncommon project radiogene. We have had a great experience working on the first project radiogene. One more strength is a combination of advanced scientific idea with the most up-to-date DNA technology we have. And finally, we have specific scientific support of this uncommon research by a member of the Russian Academy of Science who has a great authority and wide recognition in science. Here you can see the timetable of our research during the next years of the project, and here are the resources needed for project. Actually, we have almost all the necessary equipment except several devices, and the estimated project cost is presented here. Thank you for your attention, and I will be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. So the questions will come later. First we will hear the reviews.
Okay. So as usual, we have three review reports, and the first one is given also by Professor Martina Dubnichkova. So please, floor is yours.
Thank you. Secondly, at first, once more, I will read only the information which we already heard, and something about the scientific merits and intellectual contributions. The objectives of the research project are clearly structured. The partners have complementary knowledges of the expertise process. The joint research program of collaboration is of good quality. The project is original, and the overview of state of the project is adequately presented. The essential goals are consistent with results from the previous scientific work in years 2017 and 19. From the technical feasible of the project, this modern research proposed problem requires a wide range of the main methods from molecular biology and the methods of condensed matter physics, and it does take to account of all participants in a project in the GINR. Checking of previously established differences in radiosensitivity for high inbred lines maintaining in their Drosophila collection, which they call them, and confirmation the genotypic purity of these lines to obtain transcriptomy from the first instar larvae irradiated at this and later stages of ontogenesis will be useful for the solution of the next experiments of the other problems and groups of researchers after accomplishment of all goals for this field of research. Something about compliance of the request financial resources. These experiments are justification of radiation genetic risk is an original rewarding. The form and content has the required character, and the request funding are realistic for the estimated budget. The management plan is adequate. It includes a problem-solving mechanism in the event of assignment experiment between partners, including of GINR and other institutions expressed an interest of the joint studies within the proposal project. availability of adequate human resources and cooperation, plan activities, balance between time frame and cost, description of the work plan, benefits for GIN arising from this activity structure and plan procedures are listed. The proposal includes a clear experimental strategy. Planned timetable of works of resources in case of knowledge demonstrates in the proposal an adequate level and experience of special preparations in this field, and the correlation with the scientific groups is known. I can state conclusion. This project for funding for is specific enough to clearly show with innovative and original aspects. Proposal is meeting the all relevant criteria of such project. Any shortcomings are in minor form. I propose the submitted application of project to be accepted as functional research project and has been funded within the scheduled period. Of course, I have weaknesses, strengths are in a correlation, and weaknesses we can also listen in presentation, so I will not read them. In the end, I can say that the evaluation of the project is on excellent level. Proposal addresses all relevant aspects of the expected criterion. But I have one recommendation for publication. Please, when you will write the affymetrix genes chip, this method, please write it in correct form, please. You make a few actual names or titles of this, but this is just one method. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martine. So the next two referee reports are presented by representatives by two eminent Russian institutions working in field of genetics. First one is from Vavilov Institute of General Genetics of Russian Academy of Sciences. It's presented by Professor Rubanovich. The referee report is positive. In the first part of the this report, the referee discussed the scientific case of the proposal. It's considered as a quite promising one. The object, the biological object of the proposal, is discussed in detail. The methods are discussed. In the second part, the referee mentioned that the presence of unique equipment and modern equipment for performing the studies which are suggested in this project. He also mentioned the quite qualification of the staff which will work on the project, and that make this project a highly competitive project in the field of radiation genetics. And he said that a strong point of this project is that this project is participated by two very well-known specialists in radiation genetics, namely Professor Zakharov and Professor Chistyakov. Finally, he said that project is meet to the basic level of the modern level of research in the field, and also should be supported during our consideration. So the next referee report is presented by Professor Pasyukova from the Institute of Molecular Genetics. The referee report is divided per three parts. The third part discuss in detail the scientific case, the novelty and topicality of this problem, and mainly the methods of the research, and find this positive. Second part is the scientific content, which focus more on the methods, which are suggested for the research. Actually, the methods are reviewed in the presentation, as I see. And finally, the referee discussed the qualification of the staff which will work under the project. And she mentioned that there are a lot of qualified specialists, and including young specialists. The names and family names are presented in the referee, and she considers that experience of the staff is enough for performing the suggested tasks. And finally, she suggests to support this project and financially as well. So that's all what we have. So if you have any questions, comments, please proceed.
I don't see. This time I don't see anyone, So, okay, then let us speak, the speaker, and also, of course, the reviewers again. And now we will have a lunch break, but before the lunch break, I would come back for a minute to the poster session. So you remember that after poster session, we usually have a voting. This time it will be organized a different way, as explained by Oleg. The usual way is that you are voting with numbers 1, 2, 3, the first priority, second, and the third. I would suggest that we keep this method. Nevertheless, right now we have not more than 6 posters altogether. So I think it would be ridiculous to select the 3 best ones, because then we wouldn't have a real competition, and we should have a competition. So my suggestion is that at the very end we will congratulate only to one this time. I think that will be enough, because normally we have something like 20 posters, and this time less than the third. So if you agree with that, then please do that, but keep the old tradition of the way of voting. I would say let's decide when we will see the posters. We will have seen the posters themselves. Okay, maybe 2, but definitely not 3. Thank you once again. Bon appetit. And reconvene exactly by 2:30.